How's it going, everybody? It's Evan here with Josh on Life is Funny podcast. You know, like you were talking about, not a lot of work left for me, which is great.
Interesting
week this week. Like we're not recording on a Thursday at lunchtime because I'll be working on a Thursday at lunchtime. But
we had such a good rhythm going there for
it was
a minute
nice, yeah.
On Thursdays at lunch. I kind of like we'll be back to that potentially slash like you'll be on your summer break and
I'll
it'll
have
be like
a lot of
we
time.
Can do whatever day at lunch we want.
Yes, I can be very, very flexible to say the least. But no, this week and next week too are very interesting because like, or at least for me, they're interesting because it's a, you know, Monday through Friday and then Saturday, Sunday are off. Like
there
when's
you
the
go.
Last time
that's
I've
pretty
had
rare
that?
For you. And it's probably like somewhat-ish, I'm guessing, 8 to 5, like during those, like Monday through Friday.
It's yeah, not like you're working until, let's call it that. Not 10 to 5, you know? It's no.
Well, I was going to say, you're not getting there. I've never seen
no,
you somewhere
my,
at 8 a.m.
My alarm goes off at, you know, 7:50, so it'd be a stretch to get into the office at 8 o'clock. But yes, it is a typical workday, you know, like there's not a lot of evenings on deck.
Good. I'm very glad to hear that. I want to circle back to the alarm thing just for a quick moment.
Mm-hmm.
Do you sleep until your alarm goes off?
Yeah, all the time. Why else would I wake up? How else would I wake up?
See, I never sleep until my alarm goes off.
Rachel
I
does,
always
I
wake
think
up before
Rachel
it goes
usually
off.
Wakes up before hers goes off. I sometimes it's interesting what I've done the last couple days. This is also not interesting. Same with my 9 to 5 or, you know, Monday through Friday workday.
Starting
it's
out
only interesting
hot this
to
week,
me.
Evan.
Yeah,
know.
it's like the last couple days. Usually, what I do is I wake up, I snooze my alarm, and then I'll flip over and like sleep the next 9 minutes or whatever. Like you know, one
yeah,
cycle.
I've never hit snooze on an alarm. Ever
really?
In my entire life.
That's ridiculous. That's what it's there for. But anyway, so I wake, you know, I sleep that 9 minutes again, but I have been waking up just before that, like, the 9 minutes
oh,
are up.
Oh, there you go.
So my
okay.
second alarm
yeah.
is, you know, is,
you wake,
is
yeah. not, yeah. There you go. My alarm is set every day, except for, like, yesterday I had to go to one of our other offices, so I had, like, a two-hour drive. So then I woke up at 5:30, but and I had to. I woke up when my alarm went off when it was 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
But my normal alarm on any given day 7 a.m.
That's
and
just
I'm
too
usually,
early.
I usually wake up at like sometime between 6:30 and 6:40, like almost
yeah.
without fail.
I mean, hey, good. You know, if it works, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know,
but there's just something like. I know that my body will wake me up or Fitz will wake me up before 7. So that's worth noting, too. Sometimes, like, I don't know if I wake up or if it's him that wakes me up. Like, this morning, I woke up. He was still asleep. But there's something, like, almost freeing about, like, waking up before your alarm. Or just, like, it feels like I live the life of my body just wakes me up. Like, there's something to be said for that. But my body just happens to wake me up before 7 every day. Like, even if I didn't set an alarm, that's when I would wake up. I don't like
your cicada rhythm, right? That's how it goes. You know?
Yeah, I love the old cicada rhythm.
Yeah, every 7 years I wake up right on time. That's how I get my circadian rhythm. But
yep. Yes, sir. Well, you been up to anything of note the past week other than just working and getting ready for your old 9 to 5?
You know, it was a busy weekend. I broadcasted back-to-back games for our conference tournament on baseball, so I got, you know,
you're
a lot
fancy.
Of love for
you got
you know, for my job on the
radio
headset.
Voice
yeah I got a voice for radio for sure, face for radio, but
oh,
no
yeah,
that,
there
that
it
was,
is. That's what I was waiting on.
That was fun. Got to fill out my mileage form for that today. Apparently
oh,
186 miles is worth like $124, so we'll take it.
Yeah,
know,
that's, that sounds about right. Because any time that I drive to the office I drove to on Wednesday, it's 230 miles round trip.
Yeah,
it's like $150.
That's.
But I drive a decent amount for work. So what I'm starting to do again, these are things nobody cares about. But what I'm actually starting to do is leverage that mileage for like what it's intended for. So I've never actually like taken that mileage money and like saved it into a specific account.
Oh, right. But, so then use on, like, repairs or something.
Correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm going to start doing, I think. Or just, like, and if I don't use it on repairs or, like, tires or an oil change or whatever, mm-hmm. like, then I'll put it towards, like, a next vehicle because, like, the wear and tear on this vehicle, like, makes it last less long. Like, that's part of why mileage is what it And so I'm curious to see how that plays out. I'll deduct out however much I spent on gas for that trip, like ballpark. And then I buy lunch whenever I drive because I'm like, I can deduct that out of my mileage. And then the rest of it goes to the car savings.
Yeah. No, so that's definitely kind of how it goes with mileage a lot of times. Well, I guess not what you're saying, but that's a good point. Since we're talking about cars, so I had a fine time going back and forth between. I did a lot of driving for the, you know, the work thing where I broadcasted. It's funny because we do this for an hour every week. And like, that's fine. You know, my voice is always fine. After doing back-to-back baseball games, like my throat was like definitely feeling really? It. Like, yeah, I was very, very much like, oh my goodness, I gotta.
Was it a different voice you use or just like the length of talking?
No, I think it was just the fact that it was like 6 hours straight of like baseball talking and you know, stuff like that.
That's so much time.
Yeah. And like, I don't know, probably less time to like drink stuff or like swallow or like break, you know. I feel like after maybe not probably the same amount that we talked because I wasn't the only one on the broadcast, but
it
was a lot
color commentary or like
it was a little more 50-50 than like maybe a typical baseball broadcast, like a pro baseball broadcast, but I was technically the play-by-play guy, so you know, in the driver's seat, if you will. It was a fun time. I definitely enjoyed it. And then had Saturday off after that, like nothing on deck because Kenyan Sports lost a couple games and, you know, we didn't have anything to do. So, you know, oh well. And then Sunday, because I also didn't have anything to do, decided to kind of the night before drive to back home for Mother's Day. So, you know, got to spend a nice Mother's Day and a little day trip back home to see
your mom, grandparent.
Yeah, it was a good time. But it was a very good day. However, you know how this last probably year plus at this point, maybe the last 2 years, we've had multiple like worst Christmas ever. Worst Thanksgiving ever.
Did you have your worst Mother's Day ever?
Yes. However.
Okay, I'm curious now because like, what's the? I want to know the measurement. Like, I want to know like why is like you saw your mom on Mother's Day. How can that be? And I was gonna say, how can that be worse than like, my head says the worst Mother's Day ever would just be like. Didn't talk to my mom, forgot it was Mother's Day. Like, that's the worst Mother's Day ever in my head.
Yeah, well, I mean, I feel like your mom could, like, get struck by lightning or something like that. Or, like, your mom's holding hands with your grandma and they both get struck by lightning. Or if you're, like, if your significant other is a mom.
Is that what happened?
They're holding it. No. Nobody got struck by lightning.
And oh, my gosh. You were freaking me out there for a minute.
So the reason I hesitated is because the day itself was actually fantastic. It was really, really good. My grandma had a great day. She even said, like, this is one of her best days in a long time, like, because she got to see, like, one of my uncles, my mom, me, my little sister, and then we FaceTimed my other uncle from, like, Australia. So, you know, made time. Like, everybody, it was a good time. And then, like, my mom had a good day. Like, it was good. So the Mother's Day with a capital D was, like, a good day. Like, Mother's Day celebration. However, the hour and 45 minutes driving home was probably one of my worst days in a while. So
flat tire, right? Tell me it's a flat tire.
That was just a small part of it. Let me take you through real quick because this is actually like, so the obvious thing that you would assume is that I had a car problem, and that was part of it. However, unfortunately,
not a crash was what I was hoping.
Well, yeah, we'll get to that. An accident of sorts, but there were over the course of my drive, leaving my mom's house, saying, "Hey, you know, love you, see you later, happy Mother's Day." I'm on my way back to Mount Vernon. I had two gross things. Leaking fluids in the back of my car. The first one, and this Rachel even told me, like, she wasn't sure if I should even bring it up on the podcast, but part of what made Mother's Day put a bit of a downer on Mother's Day is my mom has a cat, or she has two cats, actually. One of them is very fat and, like, diabetic. I feel like we've talked about this cat.
We did. Which actually, we definitely have hit on that.
I've had other diabetic cats. So this is, like, the second in a line of diabetic cats. My mom...
That's a problem.
Overfeeds her overfeeding. Cats. Yeah.
I was going to say overfeeding.
Yeah. And I make a note every time. You know, it's like, hey, he's too fat. He's way too big. but he also was missing all day of Mother's Day. So my mom was kind of worried about him. And unfortunately, on our drive back from, like, seeing my grandma, kind of along the route, like, where you would turn left to get towards my neighborhood, but not like on my street and still, like, a couple turns away, there was a dead cat on the road that looked very similar to the cat that she had not seen all day. So in our heads, it was like, don't want it to
be the one.
Might be, haven't seen the cat. This is the cat that looks like it, like, where are we looking? So I kind of gave, you know, we looked all around the house. I did, like, a drive around the block, you know, looked around, like, our neighboring streets and stuff like that. Couldn't find the cat. Drove all, even though my mom told me not to, drove all the way back to the other cat and, like, just looked at it. It's like, yeah, it's the same color and everything. You know, it's a pretty big cat, but is that just because it's bloated, because it's dead? Is that because it's a fat cat? Geez.
So no tell fun. Me you didn't put this cat in your car.
So, well, no. After taking a look, I went back home. We had to do dinner. So we did dinner.
Yeah.
You know, it was a nice dinner. Cat still didn't come home. It was like, hey, mom, you know, see you later. Love you. Let me know if the cat gets home. Hope he does. But also she was kind of like, you know, if it is him, you know, it's nothing we can do. And it's just the not knowing that sucks. So I also didn't like the not knowing or the idea that this would be our cat just laying on the side of the road. So I did go back and I picked this cat up in a trash bag and I drove it over to like there's actually like a vet office or like a kennel place. It's both. That's like across the street from where it was. So like it was closed. I didn't, you know, bring a dead cat into a vet on Mother's Day, but I did, like, they had trees over there and I kind of like check the cat out. There's no way to know if this was our cat or not. I thought it was a little
like
bit.
A collar or something. That
no, we don't have. We're not cats or collars on cats kind of people. That's but yeah, that would have been nice. Or
I was just thinking like there would have to be some way to identify, right? But then now that you're talking about, I'm like, I've seen 100 cats that look exactly the same. If I didn't know them, even if I knew them,
yeah, it was the same. Like I even thought like. Because he's so fat that there's a spot like on his like lower back, like kind of where his tail towards the back of his tail or his back towards his tail that like he can't turn around and lick. So it's sometimes just a little, you know, like dusty or, you know, has stuff on it. And it's like, okay,
sure.
If that's like dirty, maybe. But my mom said she's been doing a really good job of keeping that clean. So it's like that didn't help. And so I had no idea. So I kind of laid this cat to rest. Like under a tree, you know, thinking this is my, you know, this is our cat. This is Fez.
Yep.
RIP. You know, at least I didn't want him laying out there all alone.
Yeah.
Was kind of sad, you know, tear welling up a little bit on the drive home.
Yeah.
From, you know, for me, for my mom, it sucks, you know, for the kitten that would not have a big brother anymore. Get, you know, like 40 minutes into my drive or so, cat's home. So, both thank goodness, but also whose dead cat did I have in my car?
Screw that cat.
Yeah.
How dare he put you through that?
And I think I did not want the cat to be dead, but for sure, but also I very
now
much
you might.
Was like now I was like, whose cat is this? And like, what if there's some other family looking for their cat and like it
They're
just
never
didn't
gonna
feel
find it
nice.
Under that tree.
Yeah, and obviously having to carry on a trash bag with a dead cat in it and then like dump the cat, like none of this process, I'm not gonna go into it, is fun, you know? Like
no, definitely not.
So that was no bueno, and that's how my drive home started. Unfortunately, only a few short, you know, minutes, maybe 15 minutes after that, coming around an exit like in Columbus, and you know, like on the home stretch, headed towards the home stretch, come around a turn. This is like, it's not like I'm not coming off an exit. I'm like, it's like a highway that is turning. So I'm going like 65 miles an hour, and which, you know, speed limit's 30. So there you go. But no,
is it actually?
No. I'm going 65 in like a 65, I believe is what it was. It was either 65 or 70. I know I was going 65 cause I was like turning. Anyways, out of nowhere, thing in the middle of the road, just a big flat, ugh, like square thing that like kind of looked like a board, like a pallet. Or
something laying out.
Yeah, yeah, like a pallet maybe, but it was also like super heavy, so it might have been metal. So I have no idea what it was.
You're going through like my worst fears of like,
yeah,
the amount of times I've hit something like that and not had something bad happen, like,
yeah,
freaks me out because they're always on 465 around, yeah, Indy.
So like this time I hit something and hit it real hard. Definitely felt like, oh my God, like I just, you know, I hit something. Like it's not like,
yeah,
like, cause the other thing, 2 days or a day later, I was driving Rachel's car back from work, hit a groundhog that just ran, could not have run more under my wheel. And like, that was fine. It sucked because you'd never like to hit anything. And a groundhog's big, especially when you're driving a Honda Fit.
That's what I was going to say. That's not a big car we're talking about that you hit the groundhog. That's like car is one size, groundhog is half, yeah, that size.
Uh-huh. No, proportionally, that was a significant collision for the Fit, but it took it like a champ. The groundhog, not so much, unfortunately. But like, that would have been fine. I've hit stuff where it's like, ooh, I shouldn't have hit that. Or like a pothole, yeah, right? Where it's like, oh, that sucked. This was, yep, like a hit it, oh my God, what the heck? And then immediately the low tire pressure light came on. So like, it like popped my tire.
Perfect.
I pull my over, and I should send you this video. There are, and I'm not even exaggerating because it might have been more, like 15 cars that are also
who
pulled
also
off the side with their hazards on. So I immediately get pulled over. I call.
Walk up to the first car and be like, cluck you, why didn't you go out and like get the thing off right? the road?
Because it's in the middle of a busy highway. So I called 911 and I was like, hey, you guys have got to get somebody out here because like people, you know, people are hitting this thing. Like, I don't, what I didn't want, because I was now at the back of the line of 15.
Yeah.
I didn't want someone to hit it and like swerve off and like pull over,
correct,
trying to hit me.
Yeah. Like, that's so, getting like, dangerous,
yeah,
with that
and
many
that's
people
why,
on the side of the
that's
road.
That's why I didn't want to get out at all, because if it was in the right lane. So, you know, if I would have had to get out and like, you know,
yeah,
be
right
next
there
to
the
in
cars. Like
the yeah.
path of somebody swerving.
Mm-hmm. So like, that was no fun.
No way.
So finally it took like half an hour for them to like send a cop, and he, it was kind of a ridiculous process because on the phone call on the 911
call, he swerved around in front
well,
and slowed
did,
down
yeah.
traffic.
So,
yeah, that's
no,
what they
he,
do.
No, he didn't actually do that the first time.
Oh,
the first
really?
Time. So on the 911 call, he was like, what was it? And I was like, in my head, I don't know that it matters. It was something like, if I knew, I probably wouldn't have hit
something
it.
Something
right?
large,
like,
sir.
Yeah, something large, and it'll mess you up. So be careful. So the cop, 30 minutes later, comes flying around the same bend that I like hit the thing on. So I'm thinking this guy's gonna yeah. hit the thing.
That would have been just
pulls up
hilarious.
Next to yeah, that would have been really funny. But he pulls up next to me because I'm at the end of the line, not because like I called, but I'm at the end of the line. He's like, "Where is it? What was it?" I'm like, I don't know. It was back there. Like, what? You should have seen it. I was like, I had no idea. I'm like, you know, we've done this on the podcast in a non-joking manner of
yeah.
how far is a mile? I was like, it could be 100 feet away or it could be a quarter of a mile down the road. And maybe
yes.
that's the same
it's
thing.
Back
I don't,
there. Yeah, it's, back that way, sir.
It is back from whence you came. It is, you know, it is not in front of us. And I have no idea where it is or what it was. So he like finally just kind of left and like pulled away. And then eventually, maybe it's how long it took him to get like back on
back
that stretch
around.
Of highway. But finally, he had like a tow truck and was driving slow with his high beams on. But then like pulled up and said, I couldn't find it. You know, it must be gone now. So now what I think happened is after
you
hit
it so hard, it moved.
Yeah. I was wondering why my car was so much heavier. No, I think shortly after I hit it, one of the only other cars to pull over was a big semi. And I saw sparks under the semi, so I think it maybe got caught under the semi and like the semi maybe pulled it off
perfect.
To the side, but
yeah,
I don't know
it.
For sure, you know, either
well,
way.
That's another reason you wouldn't have wanted to get out right there is like
yeah.
knowing there's this big thing back there, all that somebody has to do is hit that and it tosses it your way.
That's
like
a good
you're
point
out of
too.
Your car mm-hmm. fixing your tire like
yeah.
you don't get out right there not
yeah.
until you know it's like at least a little safer than that.
Yeah,
like
so
you're in a dangerous situation, even if there's nothing on the road for people to swerve around or hit into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I did not get out. I called my dad to say, hey, like, do I just need to call USAA? Fortunately, I've never had to like do that before.
Yeah.
So I called insurance, and they're like, there's a wait time of like 45 minutes. I was like, okay, great. So yeah. So fortunately, they were able to hold my place in line. So I called my mom. I was like, hey, you know, I said I'd text you when I get home. it's gonna be a while.
Not home. Rachel.
Yeah, and I said, hey, it's gonna be a while. You and Zoe can go to bed if you want. Hopefully, I see you tonight.
What time is this? Yeah, but, yeah. You never said what time any of this was.
This
happening.
This is like not. I think I hit it at 9:45. So,
so it's like dark.
It is. Yeah, that's the other thing. It is dark.
And now like, I understand the high beams thing. I had been imagining this story in broad daylight.
No. That's even what makes it even, not only could I not have seen it in the dark or in the light, but like even more so in the dark. So it just kind of, jumped out at me. And who knows what it was? Maybe it was something that literally jumped out at multiple.
It was a little like road gremlin with a knife.
Yeah. Large metal snapping turtle or something, just something angry.
Yeah.
Maybe a transformer. Yeah. Who knows? Could have been anything.
We're never going to know is the good point.
No, honestly.
Of it. It's all
and
guesses.
No one, like, there's also no, like, no one is at fault for this thing except me. Like, I, in terms of insurance wise, this is an at fault accident for me because
it's
I
an
struck
accident?
Something.
It counts as an accident?
Yeah. So I had to file a claim that
Why?
Is goes against me because I struck something in the roadway, allegedly, I guess, even though I was not distracted. I was not speeding. Like, this,
so
I didn't put the thing.
Did you
there.
Have to file a claim because you called them to fix your tire? Like, is that why?
I guess so, because, like, for damages stuff.
Well, because I was thinking, like, if you had just got out and fixed your tire, like, which I wouldn't have recommended based on how you're sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you had and just not called your insurance company, you wouldn't have had a claim, right?
Well, yeah, right. If you
if you'd had, like, AAA.
If you don't report it, yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, what if you had AAA and you called them to come fix your tire? Then it's probably not an insurance claim either, right?
No, I think you'd be good. But the problem is, like, it not only like because I tried putting fix a flat in.
This feels ridiculous.
It did not fix my flat. So that quickly too, the cop pulled up behind and was going car by car, like checking people, seeing if they needed help. And he looked at my tire and like I'd already taken a picture of it. I'm like, yeah, it's my back left tire's flat. I was worried because fortunately, I thought it was only one tire that was flat, or like I was hoping.
Could have been
because
multiple.
I only have one spare tire, right? And I hit it with
two. Oh, I usually carry
wheels.
Two, just in case something
in
like
case.
This happens.
I, same here, but no, so I was like, okay, if I can, first of all, figure out how to change a tire, never done that before. So if I can figure out how to change a tire, I'll at least be okay. And maybe, just maybe, the only thing that I'll need is one new tire,
Yeah.
I also just recently got tires, like a year and a couple months ago. So maybe I don't even need to get, usually when you get tires, you have to at least get like two new, like you can't just put a new tire on with three other ones.
Yeah.
So
it doesn't work well.
Yeah. So anyways, I was like, if it's one tire, great. So that's part of why I called, because I also didn't know what other damage there might be. And I still don't necessarily, cause I at very least it popped a
Did
tire.
Did you get towed?
No, I was able to. Well, so the cop said, you look like you're fine. It's probably just, it looks like it's low on air, but, you can probably limp up to the exit. And I tried driving and it was like completely dead and flat. So I barely, I did not drive very much. It was funny because he eventually walked, like I was further down the line of the cars that he was checking into. And I was like, hey, me again. You're wrong. Like, I gotta fix the tire. It's pretty flat. So like I had this incredibly flat tire. And fortunately, it didn't seem like the other tires were, deflated. So I called the insurance to, maybe set up roadside assistance. Because if I needed two tires, I would have needed
You're
to be towed
need
or something
that.
Like that.
Yeah.
So, they had to do that for the claims purpose and also for the future, new tire, new wheel, maybe some undercarriage damage. Who knows? Was standing there Googling how to, change a tire, pulling my spare out.
Yeah.
Fortunately, one of the other nice tow truck guys that was like hooking up the car behind me, asked if I needed help and incredibly quickly with his little drill, it was like pit stop. He was like zoom, zoom, zoom.
Yeah.
And like zoom, zoom. Yeah. And I was like, that would have taken me a very long while. Like, thank you so much. And thing I was not too worried about untwisting the lug nuts and like putting the tire on and twisting it back. I don't really know how a jack works, and I have a very small one, whereas he had just like a big,
a
three
giant
pumps,
one. He just threw
three pumps
under
and
there.
It's up. And I
Well, you got to be careful how you talk about that, Evan.
Oh yeah, yeah, no. He was pumping it up, pumping the jams, and you know, yeah. So the whole process was new to me and not fun. And I drove home on this spare tire,
little donut,
like you know, yeah. This in 40 miles an hour. It was pitch black again. And by this time, it was like midnight. By the time I was getting home, and there was a car that was like coming up behind me. I was very fortunate to like not be on the road with a lot of traffic because. Mini fast because
you're limited on speed when you got your little donut.
Yeah,
right?
There you go. So you're not supposed to go over 50 miles an hour. So I was kind of going 45 in like, you know, 55 one lane, like highway or, you know, two lane, one on each side, high lane scenarios. So this car behind me, you know, pulls up and I put my hazards on and kind of like try to, you know, wave them around. And then they slowed way down thinking that I put my hazards. So I'm like, it doesn't really work well in at midnight in pitch black, you know. So that was kind of silly, and they finally went around me, but it was just not a fun time. And then I today is Wednesday. All of this happened on Sunday. I only just got a call from like the insurance appraiser. So someone from the insurance company is supposed to come and like look at your car and say, hey, this is how much it's probably going to be.
Damages, $1,000.
Right, in the wheelhouse. And then you take it to a shop. And then if it's more than that, you know, like they can add on to it. I don't really know what happens if it's less than that because the appraiser kind of put a high number. Like they did not just
cut you a check, right?
Yeah. Like I think I'm getting like whatever above my deductible, you know, the appraiser thing is directly deposited to my bank account. So whether I need it or not, like because there's a chance I just need one tire. Yeah. $150 or whatever a tire runs and you know $200 and some parts and labor maybe an alignment too you know because like it probably jacked
probably
my car up
that.
And
yeah, so definitely
I don't really know if I'm gonna come out positive. The other thing is I get 50 days of a rental car, so like that's kind of cool. I can just you know
what is it
save
your choice of rental car?
Well I mean
I'll
I get
the Porsche.
I get whatever Enterprise has and I get a standard vehicle, so no, you know. Something
four-door,
pretty basic. No exotic. I don't even know if that's an option, but it, like in terms of the rental car insurance side, you know, I could go rent an exotic car if I wanted to. Maybe I'll get a Cybertruck.
I was gonna say, like, what if
up.
You drove a Porsche and you needed a rental car? Like
right.
Do you get the rental car that's the equivalent of your car?
Maybe. I don't think so.
I don't know.
But maybe. I doubt it though, because that's like that seems like frivolous, you know, and also like kind of silly. Like why?
I guess. But if you had SUV and you got like into this situation and you had a big SUV because of what you do for work or
that's true.
Because
or,
you have
or,
a
like,
bunch
let's
of
say
kids
a truck.
Or
like
something.
Let's say you're a construction worker and you have a truck.
Exactly.
Yeah. That would make more sense than the you know, exactly. Unless
Porsche
you're a race,
is a bad
unless
example,
you're a race car driver,
okay?
Then you probably need a.
I need to rent the Enterprise Porsche to go race this weekend.
Doesn't
Indy 500.
I'm sure Enterprise has like an Indy car or like a NASCAR car or something like that. You know,
something.
Like
they've got to, and they'll pick you up.
Yeah, they will. So that's it's a whole thing. Obviously, I am still waiting for the resolution. Not a sticking it to the man contributed to. You know, maybe
it
my
could
worst
play out to be
Mother's
a sticking
Day
to
day.
The man. That was what I'm hearing you say.
Right. It sure could. I mean, it could also contribute to
but
not
again,
being that. But, you know.
Well,
like,
if we look at it as a long-term view, too, we don't know what this is going to do to your monthly insurance costs.
You know what I do have, and this is kind of a sticking it to the man. I have, like, accident forgiveness, like a one-time, you know, like, accident forgiveness thing. And I assumed that it's just, like, a one-time like ever, but apparently like you sign up for
renews every year.
Yeah, it renews like every, you know, year or 6 months or whatever. I think it's a year.
You get to a crash pretty frequently then.
Yeah.
You're fine.
So right. So my new or my this current term of my insurance ends in July. So like this was a perfect time to, you know,
yeah,
get it out
crash,
of the way. Yeah,
do
if
it
I'm
now.
Gonna crash, get it out of the way. So
absolutely.
Know, get mine once a year. For $300 you could in theory get a new car with no repercussions every single time.
I feel like they might catch on. Like, I don't know, but it feels like they're gonna learn that this guy's crashing intentionally
at some point. Right, but you know, maybe you just live a dangerous lifestyle, you know, or like have a dangerous.
I live a life a quarter mile at a time, Evan. Come on.
So I don't know. This is it's a whole thing. It's been front of mind and annoying. I've been getting to drive Rachel's car though, like I said, so that's fun.
Nice. Do you feel taller in that car?
Oh yeah, no, it's almost both. I almost feel smaller because I have to like be so compact and like packed in. And definitely when you're like when I pull into a parking spot, it's like, oh, I did not park. I didn't do great, but I have a ton of room right now.
Like, you're it's a little crooked. Hold on, let me just pick up the back corner and push it around. It's fine. It's great. Let me straighten that out.
I definitely do. You know, it makes you realize the spatial awareness of both inside and outside the car. But yeah, it's a good little vehicle. It does the trick.
See, we're dealing with the opposite of that right now, where there were the Jeeps in the shop.
Yeah,
getting some work
done.
So
we've both got some vehicular problems.
And we're driving a Tahoe instead of the Jeep, and the Tahoe is bigger than the Jeep.
Yeah, longer,
it's like driving
maybe
a mini
wider,
bus.
Maybe the same. Yeah,
it is all of the above bigger, like in every facet. So especially when you go from the Subaru to the Tahoe, it's different.
Yeah.
But it's very comfy. It's very comfy. It's like big inside. So no complaints, I suppose.
That's good.
I would almost bet that the Honda Fit could fit inside.
Oh yeah. Well,
drive it in the back.
Did any Costco cabinets fit inside this Tahoe? Were you able to use this car that you have now to do anything
fun? Nope. We sure were. And then come to find out, we were at Mother's Day this last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And forgot that my brother had just gotten a truck, and they had one in stock in West Lafayette last week.
You came on the podcast and said,
brainstormed
really hard. Yeah, about who.
I feel like really hard is an exaggeration of what happened.
Like you didn't consider your blood relative, nor the guy that you talk to every single week. That's so funny. I mean, it's not.
Yeah,
but you know, it's it sucks to be you. But I'm sure you know it's funny for me.
Sure. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's all right. We're making it happen. So we'll get the Jeep back here soon.
That's good.
That'll be good.
I've
been hitting the driving range, playing some golf a little bit more lately.
Yeah.
Like getting back into the swing of things. As the
kids there
say.
You go, Josh. I forgot to tell you. Kenyon is hiring for a women's golf coach.
Okay, I don't think I can coach golf.
If you know golf in any capacity, you are A-OK.
Really?
Yeah. First of all, golf coaching, you don't really do a lot.
You drive around on a cart. You drink
tell the guys, hey,
Gatorade.
You know, hit it further.
Straighten out
better.
That swing. Yeah. You know, keep your head down.
Yeah, lock in. Let's get him on the next hole. Get him on the next.
Focus
you know.
On where you want to hit it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Finish strong through the back nine. You know, that's
exactly.
That's about the extent of my golf knowledge.
Yeah.
But I
your
think you
knowledge.
Can get the job. Yeah, my golf knowledge. I think that's what they actually call women's golf is golf. You know, GAL.
Oh, gal. Yeah, that makes sense.
So,
yep.
I think you could get our women's golf job, and you know, if you need, I got a spare room.
You got
like
a place for me to stay.
So
perfect.
Hey, I considered applying for it because I'm sure it's a slight, you know, a head coaching position, slight pay raise over an assistant.
Head
you know,
I mean, there's something appealing to doing something fun like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's all right. You know, I'll tell him to keep the seat warm just in case, you know, anything.
Yeah. But tell him to keep looking and I'll give him a shout if I get.
Yeah, last resort, last
if I'm
resort.
I'm interested. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, other than Mother's Day stuff, it was a pretty relaxed weekend. We went and saw Fall Guy.
Nice.
Right? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, The Fall Guy, I think. Maybe just Fall Guy.
That was so good. I was very happy. It has a green check. I actually got two things, I think, this weekend with green checks. I'm not going to tease you with the other one yet because we've got a mid-year review.
It's coming up soon, though.
Yeah, it's coming up. So I'm not going to hit you with what that was. But this compared to last year, crazy year on green check marks, I'm telling you.
You know, I think I have maybe been a little bit more intentional about just trying to enjoy like stuff for these things because last year I feel like I definitely like you know we talked about it, like I got crap from Rachel of like oh you know that wasn't a star movie or like you know it's not crap from Rachel but like she felt like I wasn't watching movies that like were on my list because we were you know I was settling for movies which is not the case but I will say I'll tease it too Rachel and I two movies that we watched together in the last week, one of them being The Fall Guy. So, you know,
let's go.
Obviously, we'll both have a little something to say here in a month or so when we do our mid-year thing.
Love it.
Another movie that we watched together also got, for me, it's a star on my notes app. So
star.
Yeah. Okay. It was a two-star week for me.
What if it was the same movie? Because how crazy would that together be? Got it too. I can tell you right now it's not the same.
Ours was on HBO Max.
Ours was not. So
That doesn't necessarily mean anything, but, you know, stay tuned.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
Crazier things have happened.
Yeah, that's for sure. So circling back to the golf thing here for just a minute or not. I don't know how long it'll last.
However long.
So I've been trying to go to the driving range at least once per week. Want to get back out on the course, like just get back into it. Cause like I've been missing playing golf, and I was trying to remember why I didn't like swing clubs at all since we moved here. Cause I used to go to the driving range quite a bit when we lived in Midland. Like that was something I enjoyed. And like, I'd like to play golf. Like that is one of the hobbies that I find very enjoyable, and it's super cheap. If you want to just go like play nine holes at like a local municipal course walking, or
how much does a set of golf clubs cost?
Once you're set up, let me rephrase this. Once you're set up to play, it's really cheap.
Your yearly, you know, country club dues, and you know, can drive yourself out there and maybe rent a golf cart too, you know, if you're lazy. I don't do any of that.
Okay, yeah. It's important to note, I have not bought a single golf club in 10 years.
Nice.
So I have the same clubs I had in high school.
You got your shoes on Facebook Marketplace?
I got my shoes on Facebook Marketplace,
$35.
Very
quickly, like one sentence aside, I almost bought golf shoes on like an online auction this week because I like I
for
like,
resale.
Yeah, yes, for resale, not for myself, but
not for a disc golf or something.
No. That actually for pickleball, it's really just going to help me get the extra traction I'm looking for, but on the basketball court.
Love it. But like driving range, it's $9 for a small bucket. Like it's you can make it pretty cheap once you have
that's
the equipment.
That's a bucket of what? Mick Ultra or, you know, Heineken's? What are we talking?
I think it's Heineken 00s. So, yep.
Kind of a hybrid there, you know, between the two.
Yep, exactly. But I've been thinking about like what it's like to get back into something that I have no idea why I have to get back into it. Like that sounds stupid, but it's like, I don't know why I have to get back into it. Cause why did
I
ever,
it's something that in
like,
your mind,
accidentally
you've
get out
been
of
into.
It.
Yeah. Right. Like you, you know, yeah. Like it feels like, natural. It's like riding a bike. Like you just pick
exactly,
it back up.
Exactly. And so it's enjoyable. I'm glad to like get back to hitting some golf balls and just enjoying time like outside. And I think that's part of it is like figuring out hobbies and things like that, that like force me outdoors this summer. Because like I've been, I can't remember if I talked about it on the podcast, but I've been very summer avoidant in past years, and I'm trying to lean into summer this year.
Yeah, wear
some
sunscreen.
I'm trying to be outside more.
My first little piece of advice for you. But
if I don't, I go from red to redder. Yeah, how's my skin tone work? So, my question to you is: have you ever like had a hobby or something where you quote unquote like had to get back into it, even though you're like, I'm not even sure like what happened that I have to get back into it? I think about like a lot of people that's reading, like they enjoyed reading at one point, and then they go to college and they stop reading, and then after college you're like, I'm getting back into reading, but like why do I have to like get back into this? Like
I know what you mean. But I don't know that I have like I have plenty of examples that I think I would like love to get back into, and like reading being one of those. We talked about it on the podcast, like when I read Harry Potter like in college, and that was one of the first like for fun reading things that I did, you know, since like high school at that point. And I think I read it like junior year of college, so it had been a few years since I had like read for fun, and growing up that's something I did all the time. So we've talked about the whole reading thing, so that's a good example. But also like it is still one where I like, if I read a book right now, I'd be like, oh, I'm getting back into reading. Like I did not continue that. Another one that I've thought about too, and this is more of like a, like I don't know if there was ever a lull, maybe between like end of high school and like college, but like in college, I remember Eric and I, like my roommate Eric, if you remember him, we played, like he bought an Xbox like freshman year, and we played Black Ops together, and like, like I was really good.
I'd love
and
to like get back into video games.
Like video games would be really fun, and I was like, I was really good at them. So that's one where I think like...
Yeah, me too. You remember like me playing Fortnite? Come on.
Yeah, hey, you. I remember the one time that you know, I saw you play Fortnite, and you were pretty good. So like that's one where I like to be good at things. And I think, like, I think I could, you know, get back into it, but maybe not, especially, like, gaming, like, these days, it's such, like, a grindy, like, you know, you have to play every week to get the best stuff.
Gotta get your VR headset, you know?
Yeah, no, that's a whole different level of gaming.
Apple Vision.
Yes, my Apple Vision gaming. So, like, that's one. Basketball, though, last week, and I was going to bring this up, I shot, like, I shot around for, like, an hour for, like, the first time. This was after a pickleball session. And like somebody
dunked
wanted to
a few
you know,
on them haters
stuff. Oh yeah, I immediately got back into dunking form. I don't know how I did it because I was never in dunking form.
even
in the prime of my
dunking form.
Yeah, but no, I was like I shot around for I had shot around a couple times when I was at Upper Iowa because I could just like let myself into the gym, and maybe like I mean probably I could count it on one hand like between 3 and 5 times of letting myself into the gym and just shooting around for 30 minutes to an hour. Yeah. And then I hadn't done, like I had not really even shot a basketball since like I left Upper Iowa. So this has been like
really
2 years now or so. And I was pleasantly surprised with my ability to shoot a basketball the other day,
there
especially
you go.
With someone like, you know, they're watching me. And actually with someone who had played basketball in college at like, granted at the D3
pressure's
level,
on.
That's nothing to sneeze at, you know? So
hey, yeah, absolutely not. Absolutely
so I was draining some shots, feeling good, you know, got me feeling good enough to the point where I was like, you know, not only could I get back into it, but we should do like a work league because I think I could put some buckets on some people, you know, like I think I'd be good.
Kids talking smack now.
Yeah, that's the problem is I feel like I could definitely compete against people at my similar level that maybe haven't shot a basketball in a while, but like there
those,
are basketball
how do you
coaches
form that
and
league?
Players again. Yeah, right. Like I would have to be going against relatively recently college athlete graduates, you know?
Yeah. Or like the tennis coach.
Hang.
Like get them in on
yeah,
on
right.
Basketball.
No, I would need like someone that, you know, our cross country coach who they don't even use a ball in their sport, right? Like
exactly. Yeah.
So, I need a
stack
no
the deck
ball,
in your favor.
Yeah, no ball sport, our least athletic coach, you know, maybe well, I was gonna say like an offensive line coach or something, but like they'd at least be strong. You know, they'd probably get
oh,
a ton
absolutely.
Of rebounds.
They
so.
Get to the boards. Yep, yeah, exactly.
So that was fun. Yeah. That's a good example of something that I like very recently again, I wouldn't say I'm back into basketball after shooting around like once, but
yeah,
maybe, you know, it's an example. So
why not? Why not?
Because I don't know that I have other examples, and why not's a good question, right? Like, I don't know.
If you
not.
Enjoy it. Well, that was my theory was like, I have no reason not to. Like, I just haven't made the time to. And then Lauren and I tried out a couple driving ranges around here, found one literally 9 minutes away.
Oh, yeah.
That's like, great. Yeah, you can hit on grass. Like, they have like 50 spots where you can hit. Like, it's great. They've got a putting green, chipping green. Like, it's got everything you want from like a cheap little driving range. It also, like, I had to wrap my head around, like, growing up, I would go to the driving range and, like, I'd be the only one at the driving range. Like, I would be the only one there. At this driving range, the parking lot is full every time. It's crazy. Yeah. Like it's probably where we live.
Yeah, you're in like a country
still,
club city, you know. Like
that's yeah. I mean, we do have one of, if not the best course in Indiana, like 7 minutes from me right now.
Which is not the one you're playing at, though. So, like, you know, that doesn't
no,
necessarily
absolutely
mean, right?
Not. But I'm just saying, like, there's good golf culture around here.
Mm, yeah, golf
is that,
culture.
Is that a thing? That feels like
sure.
Thing, right?
I'm sure. Well, it's funny because like that there was a golf culture. Like in Iowa, like partially, and maybe it was just the people that I directly, like my roommate golfed like every single chance he could get. And like they had a big golf tournament every summer. And like my boss, he had actually coached golf at one point and like enjoyed golf. But I think there was a golf culture at Upper Iowa because that was like the only thing to do was like go to the golf course. Like, you know, there's no movie theater or like bowling. No. It's like there was a golf course. So I think that definitely played a role.
That helps. Yeah. That definitely helps. Would you ever get into golf?
No, I don't think so. I joked.
Like, there's no chance. That was a flat no. It's not like, you know, well, maybe as so I age thing. A little bit. I think there's no chance. You're silly for even asking that question.
I think I'm so far from, like, even getting to the point where it would be enjoyable. Like I said, I like being good at things. I like putt-putt. So, like, that is about, like, you know, as far as we're going to go.
Part of the game. You putt in golf. So.
The one time I golfed, I mean, I didn't have my own clubs. And then, like, you know, I'm also a taller guy, so maybe I couldn't use yours. I'd have to find, the right set of clubs.
Plus one on your shaft length.
Okay, yeah. That'd be great just across the board, you know? just in a, you know, drive shaft, you know? I'm just thinking about car stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. I knew that's what you were thinking.
Yeah. So, you know, I would have to figure out, like, I joked around yesterday because we had, like an office party thing at the end of the day yesterday. And part of that was talking about our new golf coach position. And I made like the same joke I made of, you know, maybe I should apply. It's got to be a pay raise at least. And I did like a little fake golf swing. And some people like laughed at they're like, whoa, if that's your like fakey swing, like you got some work. Because it very much is like a baseball swing. Like, and they're not transferable by any means, it seems like. So
definitely not. Which this all reminds me, I forgot that we went to Topgolf last weekend was one of the things we did.
Oh, there you go. So you really have been getting into the golf. And that's a great point because I've been to Topgolf a couple times. It's just not fun. Like, I mean, it's fine to go with people and hang out.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of other sporting things I'd rather.
Enjoy it.
Right. Which honestly, at that point, if that's the part I don't enjoy, some pretty expensive food just for a general just to go eat and hang out. Like I might as well do that at an Applebee's with Dollaritas or something like that. But
yeah. Well, Topgolf's one of the few places I've ever like been to that has a sliding scale of pricing throughout the day.
Really?
Yeah. So like we went to book it and it was like, okay, if you go first thing in the morning, it's pretty cheap.
Okay.
But you go like
peak out, like surge pricing.
Yeah. So if you're like going in the evening when people want to go because like you play under the lights and like it's it looks cool and stuff like that, like it's most expensive at like 7 or 8 p.m.
Hmm. I mean, I guess that makes sense for
double the price between like low time and high time.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they've got it worked out with like supply, demand, and like
for sure.
If people are willing to pay, you know, more because it's a limited number of bays. Like, you know, the couple times we've went, it's like, oh, that'll be like a 2-hour wait, or like book your time ahead of time, or else it'll be like a 2-hour.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But could you imagine doing that at like a coffee shop? Like, okay, your coffee's a little bit cheaper when there's no line to get you through, and then so that way we make sure the line doesn't get too long. We actually increase our prices during like peak hours.
You say that. Have you not seen that this is like a thing? Like I saw two or 3 weeks ago that Wendy's in certain areas was going to experiment with surge pricing, fast food. And apparently that's a thing for some places, like in bigger cities.
I had no idea.
It's like Uber. Like it's a thing for Uber.
Uber's
so like
a
that,
thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, well, yeah, I guess Uber is a thing, but I mean like Uber has like surge pricing as well as something that I've heard. So like
100%. I've been in Chicago taking an Uber and it costs like $10. Then I've been in Chicago for the same ride because it was negative 15 degrees outside. The ride was $100. I did not take that ride.
Right. So, you know, I think that's an interesting, almost more of like less of a supply. I guess it is a supply and demand thing. But like, I feel like in some of those situations, it is like if you had a line out the door at Starbucks and you just decided to go from $5 to $10 for lattes. I'm sure people
most
would still pay
leaving.
It. No, I don't think so. I think the other
you
way.
You don't think
because
so? Okay.
I think people are already like, I have to have this coffee. Like, I am committed. Like, I am here. Like, the cost of going some, like, especially something like Starbucks more than fast food. I feel like fast food, you could just go get something, you know, be like, fine. If it's $5 at Wendy's, I'll go get
your surge pricing.
I'm
either not eating that at that time or going somewhere else for fast food. My Taco Bell is not worth it.
But I feel like something like coffee where there are limited, you know, at least around here, right? It's like we have a Dunkin' and a Starbucks, and I guess there's like a Tim Hortons. And I mean, yeah, sure, there's always like gas station coffee, but I feel like a coffee thing.
Oh, I love
thing,
a good 99 cent cup of Speedway coffee.
My mom likes Speedway coffee, so don't hate on it, but you know, it's to each their own. Or maybe she likes
that's what I was
going to
say, to each their own.
A certain blend. I don't know. She used to, but anyways, I digress a little bit. I'm sure people would still buy their Starbucks or something like that.
But. Maybe. But how do you feel about it? Like,
no,
are
I
you
think it's
on
really
board
dumb
with surge pricing?
I think it's another way that capitalism is just kind of, you know, like, just trying to squeeze every little penny out of the working man. Like, it's just ridiculous. Because that's the other thing. They're not paying their workers more during surge pricing. Because if you assume, like, let's, you know, if the base agreement of employment is $15 an hour and I'm making... I guess that's a bad argument too. Like, because there's sometimes where it's real slow, and maybe you're still making $15 an hour.
Yeah, you're still
making.
Yes,
like you're lunch break. But
ding, ding, ding. Evan's on board for capitalism.
But what I was
going to
say, like, if no, I'm stuck. I'm not. Take those dirty words out of your mouth. I hate capitalism. But like if I were a manufacturer or something, like if I were, you know, making chairs or something like that.
Yeah.
And some of the chairs I made got sold for $3, and some of them got sold for $15, and I didn't do anything different, I would both be annoyed as the manufacturer, but also as the, like, as the consumer. It's like, this is not a better product. Well, I'm sure it does, because all you do is slap a name
brand on
something.
Somebody bought this rangefinder a month ago for over 30% more than what I paid for it today.
Wow. And I'm sure that, like, yeah, that it happens all the time with name brand stuff. Like, you look at the back of a peanut butter jar, it's all the same ingredients. I mean, Jif, you know, they mix in something a little tastier, but like all kinds
of stuff. I don't know. We did get ketchup, like Simply Ketchup or something like that this week that didn't have cane sugar as the sweetener. Or no, it has cane sugar as
so
the sweetener.
So it didn't have high fructose corn syrup. Yeah.
Exactly. Trying to be a little more healthier with those
But that's
decisions.
Actually not – that's the exact opposite of the example I'm talking about. Like, that is literally a different product for more money versus like the same product for more money.
No, it is. Yes. No, you're correct. I was doing a quick aside on eating healthier, Evan.
Sorry.
Come on.
Okay, good. I'm glad that you know.
But, okay, so let's give an example that I think you would empathize with. Because I want to get you on board with this concept, because like from a consumer's perspective, it's dirty and it sucks.
Right. You know what we are? Consumers. And don't get it twisted. So the only perspective that should matter. But the floor is yours, Mr. Tucker.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. All right. And the timer starts now.
Yeah. it's always here moderating just in case, you know, in case you need someone.
I appreciate it. Let's say that you purchased 35 pairs of shoes over the course
of a
year.
Sounds like an average Saturday. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Over the course of a year. And the intention with these shoes was to sell them, mm-hmm. right? Make a profit. So let's say that you had a limited edition shoe, like that you then turned these, like you painted them and made them like a limited edition shoe. You could charge, let's say, $500 for these shoes. Or you could spend a little bit more time and have half the amount of... I'm changing my example now. This is a poor example. So
yeah,
I was thinking about the photographer.
If I'm putting out the effort to paint them, then they are a whole different product. But
yes. So yeah. A photographer is a good example, is a better example. Or at least more easily connectable for me.
Sure.
So, like, a good wedding photographer gets better over time. The way that they can tell when they increase their pricing is when they have too many people trying to book them.
Right. Because
then they increase their
demand,
pricing.
Right. Like, they are in
exactly.
demand.
Exactly.
So they, yeah.
So why isn't that the same with a coffee? The demand is up from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. or 10 a.m. So why wouldn't I have a more expensive cup of coffee during that time slot than I would from 3 to 5 p.m. So that way maybe I draw in a few more people from 3 to 5 because my people are still going to come in from 8 to 10.
Because you're talking about entirely different things. You're talking about a service where literally the quality of the service has gotten better. So like the person is a better photographer and, you know, like they are providing a more like sought after service. Whereas, again, they're not changing the cup of the coffee. Like, and that's why Topgolf is like it's not dumb that they do it, because it is a more desirable time. It's the same reason why $5 Tuesdays at the movie theaters exist. Like, they know that people aren't coming at Tuesday at 5 o'clock. Point. But, like, people are still going
to
come.
That gets people in the
Saturday.
Door to go buy some concessions and stuff like that on a Tuesday.
Movie. Right, yeah, for the same old movie. So the thing that
I pay surge pricing for movies because I don't go on a Tuesday.
Right, well, which is, I guess so. Like, yeah, you totally do. So
I don't know. I don't like it because I don't like to pay more during those optimal hours. But at the same time, like, I get why they would do it.
No, because it's the same product. Like, yeah, it's that's the thing. It's if I was getting something worth more, or I could, you know, I guess at that point you were paying for your time, because, like, if you came back an hour later, you're getting the same exact thing for a lesser, you know, for a better price.
But not optimal time.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Like,
I feel like
I don't want coffee at 11 a.m. I want my coffee at 8 a.m.
Can you imagine going grocery shopping and if, like, they made, if everything in the store went up 50% at 5 p.m.
on Sunday morning?
Yeah. At 5 p.m. every night and every weekend, everything in the store cost 50% more. Like, that, you would have to be able to shop during the day, or, you know, from
if
the
not,
hours.
If not, you'd be up a creek without a paddle.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Or you would still have to get groceries, presumably. Like, so you'd
so
just
what
have
I'm
to
hearing
pay
you say is you're in favor of surge pricing at grocery stores.
No, I think that would be the worst thing. I would hate it. I would never grocery shop again. I'd start,
these green beans are $2.
I'd start hitting some more groundhogs, let me tell you. Getting that road meat, you know, street meat.
That road meat. On that note, any puns this week or anything else you want to hit the folks with?
Couple of puns. I have some real good sticking it to the man's as well. So first of all, speaking of street meat, apparently B-Dubs this week started an all-you-can-eat wing thing. So, like, it's all-you-can-eat wings, $19.99. First order, you get 10 wings of, like, you can get up to two different flavors, and you can get celery, you can get ranch, or carrots as well, which I get because that feels like more bang for your buck.
Okay.
So B-Dubs, you can get, like, that's your first order, and you get fries. Every subsequent order, you get an order of six, and you can get more fries and more ranch if you ask for it. So all that for $19.99. A 10-piece of wings, I think, or maybe it's a 15-piece, is like $21 at our local B-Dub. Okay. So all you need to get is like a couple orders of wings, three orders, and you're making money.
So I have two questions about this deal that you may or may not have the answer to. One, can I take a friend and, like, I just order it and they might nibble on a few of my wings?
No, that's no sharing and no, like, to-go stuff. That's kind of usually the minimum thing with those things. Yeah.
Yeah, I figured.
But and also, then, if you're savvy and sneaky enough, the answer is 100%.
Absolutely. Yeah. Have them order a 5-piece. And, man, they just always have five on their plate.
Yeah, they're
it's
just very
crazy.
Hungry. Yeah, that's not a bad idea, actually. Rachel went and ordered a chicken sandwich. But, yeah, she should have ordered wings so that it looked less sus if she was ever eating a wing. good job, Josh.
Thank you. And then the reason that I don't feel like that's a good deal at B-Dubs, at least the ones that I've frequented in the past, is because it takes so long after you order wings to get wings.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to have to be there for like 5 hours.
No, we were there for a long time, and it sucked because they weren't even busy last night. Like, or two nights ago, whenever it was. They were not busy, and, like, there was a basketball game on, like a Cavaliers game, so, like, we're near Cleveland, and the TV playing the Cavs game, like, kept cutting out. So, like, if you were going for unlimited wings and, like, a good time watching the game, like, you were not having a good time.
You ended up with 16 wings and half the game.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I got my initial order of 10 wings, and then we had to go to bed, so I didn't really get, no. Fortunately, we were able to hang out long enough to make it worth it. The other thing, too, though, because we waited for a while, and this is my little secondary sticking it to the man, apparently in the app, I have 6 free wings because I was top of the leaderboard for the trivia, like the in-restaurant trivia. I don't know how I redeem these, and I think I have to, like, go back to that specific restaurant because I can't, like, use it in the app because it's restaurant-specific. But I think that I have 6 free wings because I was just playing trivia the whole time that we were sitting there. So that's pretty cool.
I love that for you. Yeah. I'm still in a depressed state over the fact that Buffalo Louis hasn't opened in
Carmel. Yeah, that's right.
And I kind of don't think it's ever going to open.
Man, that sucks. I do wish, you know, I could go for some Buffalo Louis. Rachel.
Same. Aren't we getting some in like not joke, she a was, couple weeks?
We not were talking many, about Buffalo Louis. I guess like Louis.
8 weeks?
Yeah, no, a few weeks. But we were talking about Buffalo Louis in Indy. And she, her question was something like, how are they going to get the sauce or the ranch like, or something like. Like, how? What if it's not the same, right? Like, what if it is just a wing place that is named Buffalo? You know, like, what if it loses something?
It better be the same. Yeah. Let's just put it that way. It better be the same. I'll know the difference.
Oh, yeah. I think I would, too, for sure. So, that was interesting. Quickly, I bought a couple more pairs of shoes this weekend from Goodwill. Good. And it was 50% off of clothing and shoes. So these, I you know, I think I'm making a little extra money on.
Money maker.
So that's pretty fun. I also, though, have spent like $78 and have yet to sell anything despite trying real hard on a few things.
I haven't bought anything. So yeah. I have decided my purchasing strategy. I'll share it with you now before we jump off here or before you share puns with us.
Yes, yes, yes.
My purchasing strategy is going to consist of garage sales and estate sales this summer.
Okay. I mean, I think especially where you're at, that is a very sound strat, and I wish you the best of luck. And hopefully I get to hit up a Carmel, you know, estate sale or garage sale too. But
I hope so too, for your sake.
we organically bump into each other at a Carmel garage sale and, you know, fight over the same item or something.
Get out of here.
Like, I'm
these are my golf shoes.
No, you can have the stuff you know. I'll buy the stuff I know. It'll be great. The pun that I've got for you, speaking of shoes, is you Birkenrock, and it's a picture of a Birkenstock.
That's terrible, Evan.
It was a not great week. There was a whole lot of, like, there's, okay, quickly. And I have to assume that it's I choose you, but the pun is I juice you, and it's a bottle of juice. I juice you. Like I choose you. That's not good. And a lot of these are just like, they're very, you know, you're my number one lady, L-E-I. It's a lay. So just not good. So just stick to the Birkenrock one.
Yes, sir. All righty. Well, anything else?
Don't get in a car accident. Don't pick up a dead cat that's not yours. Just lots of life advice in this episode. Just listen back through.
So many lessons we're giving to folks this week. Alrighty. Well, thank you so much for joining us this week. This has been the Life is Funny podcast, and we will see you in the next one. Bye, everybody.
See ya.